One of the joys of life we aim to bring you each week on Travel with Rick Steves is the pleasure we can gain from our travels. When I get ready to fly overseas or to visit other cities in my own country, I look forward to meeting people who might have different traditions and outlooks from my own. Finding a genuine welcome to learn from them has kept me eager to keep on traveling all my life. Often, just hearing from friends from other places and having stimulating conversations with people we meet along the way can bring us insights into how we live our daily lives and what kind of world we want to leave for those who come after us. So today, we're inviting you to join us as we spend a little time visiting with a few of our favorite fellow travelers. I think the more distressing the news headlines may be getting from day to day, the more we need to give ourselves a virtual vacation. Permission to participate in the world as a welcoming and friendly place. Let's start the hour in Paris. It's a wonderful starting point for any adventure. Susan Cahill has written a series of delightful guides for walking to special locales in the City of Light. She helps us discover where prominent Parisians once walked, often on the same cobblestones where we find ourselves. So, the streets of Paris. You wrote in your book that the streets are stories. How so?
Right. That's part of why I wrote the book, because I would wander around Paris and there would be one name after another that I'd recognize but not really know the details. So you can't really, you know, appreciate it if you don't know much about the person. And I found myself on the left bank just being so happy to find out about Montaigne, who I knew, you know, I knew who he was, but not in detail. And what you'd see on that street, the street of the schools, there's a bronze statue of Montaigne. And all the kids going back and forth from their classes up the hill in the Sorbonne, they would stop and kiss his foot.
Well, this is the Latin Quarter, right?
That's right.
And that's where even in the Middle Ages, it's called the Latin Quarter because it was a university and they spoke Latin in the university. And there were so many philosophers and great literary characters and so on that came to Paris because it was such a cultural capital through the centuries.
And also Voltaire. I read several wonderful biographies of Voltaire, and then I went back. And my favorite cafe in Paris is Café Voltaire. It's on the river. It's right by one of the bridges. It's a beautiful little cafe, very quiet and lovely. And then came Camus up the hill. He was at Gallimard, the publisher. He walked every morning to get to his publisher, but he would stop in Place Saint-Sulpice at La Marie Café, which it's my daytime favorite, not my evening favorite. It's just wonderful.
You know, you mentioned cafes now a couple of times, and we're talking about streets, and it makes so much sense because the cafe is like a theater. Where you have your cup of coffee, you nurse your cup of coffee, you go to the same cafe every day, you sit in the same chair, and you watch the parade go by.
Right.
You watch Paris happening in front of you on the streets. Let's talk about what happens on the streets, because the more you know about Paris, the more the cobblestones in the streets come to life.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Speaking of cobblestones, the cobblestones are what angry people would pick
right.
up when
in
they're going to rise up against the government.
It was ammunition.
And that's why more of the squares are paved now, so people can't pick up their cobblestones. But we think of Les Miserables, and we think of the barricades, and we think of the boulevards that were cut through the city so that the generals could shoot what Napoleon called a whiff of grape shot, all these chains and nails through the cannon
right.
to mow down the revolutionaries. That's why we have straight streets. So we need to know about what we're looking at. Talk a little bit about what happened in the streets. Tell us about that.
Well, revolution, for one thing, but what I'm recalling with great pleasure is Truffaut grew up in the Ninth, which at that time was working class and colorful, you know, and a great variety of shops and people. And he was a little boy who just ran all over the neighborhood, but he was watching. So his first movie, The 400 Blows, is about that neighborhood and this little boy who was loose. His parents neglected him. They didn't care about him. He was on his own. 400 Blows is about Truffaut and on the streets of the Ninth. He was everywhere. He was just a kid. But he didn't miss anything. And I think that's what you see in the streets. The people are polite and all that. They don't interfere. but they don't miss anything. It's quite amazing.
You know, they do. They go to the market every morning and they sort of check in with their neighbors and they know what's happening. And
right.
You go to the butcher, not just to get your meat, but to find out what's going on over here. And I heard about that. Yeah.
Patrick Modiano, the writer who won the Nobel in 2014, his whole story, all of his novels, and there must be 40 of them by now, take place on the streets of Montmartre and other places in the city, but mostly he's happiest in Montmartre.
Well, what is it about Montmartre? What is it about Montmartre? Because it is a place that gathers malcontents, it gathers bohemians, it gathers poets, it gathers musicians, it gathers prostitutes. What is it about Montmartre?
I wonder if it is the heights, being on the heights of any city. Because you look down over these hills of streets and you're conscious or unconscious of the life that's taking place there. Also, you have to climb hard to get up there, depending. Hmm. And, you know, we always love the things that are hard in the long run.
You wrote the book, The Streets of Paris. What is one street that we should really get into in order to bring to life the story of Paris?
Well, this is off the beaten track, but I like it. It's up in Belleville, which is a section of immigrants mostly, and they all do very nicely together. I have spent many Sunday afternoons in the parks with Jewish children, Muslim children. They're all having a wonderful time together. But Belleville has a bad reputation. People say, oh, Belleville. Well, it's immigrants, and they help one another out. They warned the Jews when the Nazis had occupied Paris to get out. They hid in the basement of the mosque. That's another story. But I love the street behind. There's a big church up there called Notre Dame de la Croix. It's a beautiful church. And behind it is a narrow, winding road. You'd think you were in 19th century Paris. And it winds around all through Belleville, Ménilmontant, down to the Rue Oberkampf. Mm. And wandering around in that neighborhood behind Notre Dame de la Croix is just, you can't believe it because it's a total surprise.
You know, it's kind of tragic that the typical tourist doesn't even get close to that kind of street.
No, I know.
They've got their bucket list. They've got their grand boulevards. They're going to go to the Eiffel Tower and they're going to go to the Louvre, and they should.
Right.
But it is so easy to get on the metro and ride it to a stop that no tourist ever got off on. That should be your goal. And then look around and you see, oh, Paris is not all what I thought it was. It's a wonderful compost pile of civilization and community.
Exactly.
Susan Cahill, thanks so much for sharing your expertise on Paris and writing your book about the streets of Paris, and happy travels.
Well, thank you, Rick. Thank you very much.
Susan Cahill has written The Streets of Paris, Hidden Gardens of Paris, and Sacred Paris as guides to places where famous Parisians lived and walked, and where you can find refuge in the busy city today. Right now, you found a refuge right here on your radio dial, a refuge from the kinds of commercial radio programming that tends to value you merely as a consumer. But we are different. Public radio steers clear of the overly commercialized hype you find in so much of today's media. That's because our mission is to educate and inform, to promote being a good citizen, and to respect you as a neighbor and a friend. We aim to empower listeners like you with knowledge, to feed your curiosity about the world around you, and to not be afraid of living in a diverse and globally aware community, to actually celebrate it. Whether we're taking you to the quaint streets of a European capital, into the great outdoors with bold backcountry adventurers, or recommending a road trip that takes you hundreds of miles from home, you can count on Travel with Rick Steves to open up the world for you for an hour every week. In that same spirit, your public radio station is counting on you to show your appreciation for all the programming you've come to rely on at this place on the dial. Can you spare a minute right now to put a value on what it's worth to you? To do what it takes to maintain a vibrant public radio service in your community? We're counting on you right now to support public radio.